Jo Van Cool, and I welcome you to another programme of Animates. And today we're going to talk to a lady who teaches autistic children how to care for horses, and it proves a very valuable experience for them. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you.
For the benefit of listeners, I better explain I'm talking to Jane Hall, who's a very enthusiastic person about horses and working with, I think it's autistic kids mainly, isn't it?
It is autistic children, but I also work with lots of other people as well.
But all people with disabilities or just...
Well, it's generally people who are potentially experiencing mental health issues and... Yeah, children who are on the autism spectrum and also adults as well.
Yes, because a lot of adults weren't diagnosed as children, were they? So they've now, they now have problems that haven't been addressed.
That's right. They missed out on early intervention.
I have a grandson who's on the spectrum, so I know. He's now an adult. Yes.
Right. My son is also on the spectrum, but he's... Luckily enough, he's getting a lot of early intervention. So I think that will have a big impact on his future.
Oh, it does. It does, because my grandson has no idea. Anyway, there you go. Now, how often do you take them out riding?
Well, just to let you know, Jo, I don't actually offer riding sessions.
All right.
I do work on the ground with the horses, called groundwork. Usually someone would come once a week for about an hour, depending on the client's needs. But I also offer a program for a school at the moment where some children have been coming for 2 hours weekly.
Right. And that really helps them, I'm sure. Now,
yes.
What do you look for in a horse?
Well, I've got four magnificent horses. And my horses, I think you could work with any horse. However, the work needs to be safe. That's the number one priority. So what keeps the work safe is the relationship that you have with the horse and the understanding of that horse's personality and how they respond to different people. So if you don't have that, then you potentially have unsafe work happening.
Yeah, I can imagine. But horses often sense, don't they?
They're incredibly intuitive, yes. They live in the present moment. They're connected with their environment. They're deeply connected with their senses, you know, between the herd members and between the intentions of people or other animals around them. They know exactly what the intentions of those particular animals are.
Amazing, really. Is there a particular special need that a child has when they come to you?
Everyone is very unique in what their needs are. However, some sort of themes that seem to be presenting, children who are having difficulty at school, not understanding how their behaviour is impacting those around them and having difficulty with social interactions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore that impacts their learning in a classroom. So that's one area that's a bit. And the other is anxiety and children and adults who suffer day-to-day from anxiety. And this type of work can be particularly beneficial and can create change in people.
Yeah, must. How does the interaction between the horse and the child or adult manifest over time? Is there a marked difference between the way they first come and the way they are after, say, a year?
Absolutely. So sometimes people come with, you know, a fear around the horses, and because they're quite intimidating animals when especially if you haven't experienced them before. And once you facilitate a number of sessions with them and they begin to understand the animal and their responses, and how often they will reflect inside the person. Then over time, they build a beautiful, trusting relationship that's very authentic. And they, it's trust and appreciation, I think.
And the trust must increase on both sides.
Absolutely. Once there's an understanding of each other and once the person knows how to read the body language of the horse and what that means and so forth, then, of course, it's once we understand anything better, we have to say the trust, don't we?
Do the parents pay for this, or is this a purely voluntary thing?
Well, yes, it is a paid service. A bit like if you were to employ a counsellor or mental health workers. It is, paid. It would be lovely to offer it for free if I could get sponsorship, but horses are expensive animals to keep. And there's many years of training that goes into being able to offer the work.
So how long is, you say, you really answered that question about how long a lesson is. It's usually about an hour, and then it can become longer.
For sure. If someone was travelling a long way, they might want to do a half-day session. You could work with someone for a day. It just depends on the needs. Ideally, if you're working with someone regularly, you'd like them to have a space of about a week to process the work, because it does incubate over time, and it takes a little while to reflect upon what's happened and process it. So having a space between the sessions is ideal.
And what do they actually do in literal terms? I mean, do they learn to groom the horse, or...?
Now, interesting question. You can certainly offer grooming. We offer different experiences. So just to give you a quick outline of how a lesson might go, you would begin with a safety instruction at the start. You'd find out the experience of the person, if they have any horse knowledge. You would also talk about the awareness of the client and how that keeps them safe, how their boundaries would keep them safe in the yard. Then you would, depending on their needs, so for example, if it was someone wanting to do some anxiety management and they wanted to practice being more mindful and present, we would then go into the yard with the horse. We would do maybe a 10 or 15 minute mindfulness, grounding, breath activity with the horses sort of freely around us. And then I might suggest, this is just one example, now take a moment and go and connect to the horse that you choose and just see what comes up. Just start to notice. Notice the horse, notice what's happening in your body, and then after about 15 minutes, come back, and then we would be able to discuss what had happened in that moment. So it's just one.
Sounds fascinating. And do you notice, do they get sort of closer and closer to the horse? Because some of them must be quite frightened to start with, aren't they?
Absolutely. And you work with the person where they're at. So I had, for example, one little girl, and, she started at a 5-metre space between even the fence. We had about eight sessions. And by the end of it, she's in the yard with the pony, kissing him on his nose and grooming him. He's very, very comfortable. But that took a lot of time for her to get into that space. And she visits a lot. When can we see the horses again? So that was really interesting to see her change over time and her trust and the fear. It shifted.
Amazing and wonderful to see.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I suppose you'd like to see this program expanded, would you?
I think the benefits are just incredible. And it's something I'm quite excited about at the moment. I've just completed a program within a school, and it's been going over a school term. And we've been collecting pre and post data on the work. And I'm about to send the surveys off to the property education institution who supported me to run the program, and they're going to collate the data and write a research paper on it. And hopefully, you know, we'll get some really, really positive results from that, because the idea of supporting people through either mental health issues or preventing them, I just think that's very exciting work.
Well, I think it's an area that's being investigated more and more as being seen as being important. So the closeness between animals and people with a disability is really something that's being researched now, because they do recognise it exists.
I was just going to say, I guess what really prompted me into this work was my own son having autism and seeing how he was with the horses, and I thought there's got to be more to this, and that's what really prompted and sparked my passion, and then, you know, getting training to offer the work.
It sounds great. Now, you better tell everybody how to get in touch with you, so that they know if they're in your area where to go. So perhaps you could give us a phone number and things, so that everybody listening can know if they're in your area, they can get in touch.
Sure. Well, just my mobile number is 041-77-65-366, and email is probably easy as well. And the best one is jhall123@bigpond.com.
Can I repeat that to make sure that everyone's got it? And that's all lowercase, presumably.
Yes.
Yeah. jhall123.
Yes.
At bigpond.com.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right. So people will know to email you to find out. See, somebody might want to know if there's anyone else doing this. Do you know of anyone else who's doing it?
I do. The place that I studied through was called the Australian Equine Psychotherapy Institute, and their website has practitioners who are qualified on their page, so you'll find lots of people in different areas that can offer this work.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jane. That's wonderful for people to hear. And I dare say you'll be plagued with information now, but hopefully people will go online and have a look for themselves. And I hope very good luck with the work that you're doing. I'm so glad that somebody's taken it on board and is offering it for people with this particular disability.
Thank you.
So very good luck with it, and thank you so much for your time today.
That's great. It's my pleasure. Thank you, Jo. Okay. See you later.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. And that story brings an end to today's program. But if anyone has an idea or knows somebody who's being assisted by an animal in some way, perhaps you could contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Just ring us on 2RPH at 9518 8811 and tell us who we may contact. We'd be most interested. Right now, it's goodbye from Animate. We look forward to talking to you again in another fortnight.